In New York last month, a man in the Bronx was trapped for 2 days in his house after tons of books and magazines fell on top of him. He had hoarded them for years. It took 3 hours for neighbors and firefighters to rescue 42-year-old Patrice Moore and get him to a hospital. It may seem bizarre, but lawyers, psychologists, landlords, and social service activists in New York City are discussing the problem of compulsive hoarders seriously. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
The story of Patrice Moore is not unique. In fact, there is a tiny vest pocket park in Harlem that marks where the Collier brothers once lived. In 1947, these wealthy, reclusive brothers were discovered dead in their four-story brownstone, trapped by hundreds of tons of newspaper. This is no urban legend. In fact, hoarding is enough of a current problem among the elderly that New York City has its own working group on the issue. Rosemary Backer, who is the director of the New York City Task Force on Hoarding and Older Adults, says when the group first met about 2 years ago, many were concerned about health and safety issues, but they were confused about what to do.
Social workers and community agencies, lawyers, neighbors were totally overwhelmed by either a neighbor or a client or a relative who had severe hoarding behavior, didn't know what to do, lived in fear that overnight their apartment might go on fire. Ethical dilemmas of do they evict this older person? Are they going to be a danger to society?
After 2 years of meeting, the social workers, psychologists, lawyers, and housing experts presented their findings at the Benjamin Cordoza School of Law in Manhattan. Presenters showed pictures of homes where there was barely a goat trail to walk in and between rooms. One speaker talked about her mother's hoarding behavior and Alzheimer's. But Randy Frost, a professor of psychology at Smith College, showed that in many cases, people who hoard don't act much different than the rest of us. And a tendency to clutter only becomes pathological when it affects health and safety.
What we see is that the reasons people give for saving things are really the same reasons that all of us give for saving things.
In other words, people save for sentimental reasons or because something seems intrinsically valuable. It's just that hoarders have larger categories for these things. Frost tells of a woman who could never pass a newsstand without buying a magazine. She told him she would think to herself,
"Look at all those magazines and newspapers. Somewhere in all that information, there's a piece of information that could change my life."
Or he tells how he was helping a woman clean out her apartment when she came across a 5-year-old envelope from an ATM machine. All that was written on it was the date and how she spent the money.
And she said, "Oh, I can throw this away." And she put it in the throwaway pile and immediately started crying. And what she said was, "If I throw this away, I'll lose this day. This day will be gone for me, and I won't be able to remember it."
Rosemary Backer said the New York City Task Force has begun to devise strategies to help the elderly in dealing with compulsive hoarding. And she said that by sharing experiences, Task Force members learned some things.
I didn't know that there was national organizations like Clutterers Anonymous, Messies Anonymous. I didn't know that you could actually negotiate, because you walk into one of these environments and the first thing you think of is get rid of everything.
And that was the main theme of the conference at Cordoza. There are few hard and fast rules except flexibility. There are huge ethical dilemmas. The right to privacy and autonomy often comes in conflict with the rights of others to safety and comfort. And to work in this field successfully, says Backer,
let go of your ideal notions of cleanliness and relate to that other person as a real human being with certain needs. You don't have to throw out the 40 years of magazines. Maybe you throw out 35 years of magazines and they keep 5.
Most of all the speakers stressed that family members, social workers, landlords, lawyers have to work together. Attorney Parrish Balducci said, "You can't say, as one judge told a hoarder, you better clean this house so I can eat off the floor."
That's a recipe for disaster.
But he said landlords don't generally want to evict. They only want to see progress. In one case he is working on, an apartment so cluttered there are only 1-foot-wide passageways through the apartment. Negotiating and cleaning it out is going forward slowly. It will be a 2-year process. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.